I'm Don Norton on Chicago's very own 720 WGN. Patty, how in the world are you?
I'm just fine. I'm trying to see where the producers. Here it is. Let me roll you up, Shantae. There you go. How's that?
I like it. Now we're talking. A little music going. Feeling good. This is get it going music, isn't it?
It is. This is One Girl Revolution. Oh, all right. There's the. Ooh. So who rolls the button down? I never understand. That's what happens. So sometimes when we come in, the host that's on last, or I'm not sure who comes in. I'm going to get Matt Bubala back in here and ask him why he rolls that down. I don't know why. Anyway, hi, everybody. Happy tail end of your 4th of July. Hope you've all had a safe and wonderful weekend. I'm beat. That was a long weekend. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, this has been a busy 4th of July weekend, isn't it? I don't know.
And absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think that when it's on the Monday, right, so you have the Saturday, Sunday, Monday, like everyone seems to go whole hog beginning out. They take Friday off and they just get started. I wish I was the kind of person that just left town on Thursday night. There's a lot of people that just pack up and go. Esmeralda, have you ever had a chance to do that?
Never. I always have to stay.
Me and you, we'll go camping next year.
I'm not a big camper.
In a really
is there
nice
a cabin?
Cabin.
Okay, yes.
Yeah,
I'll do it.
With air conditioning.
Yes.
And
a TV?
And Wi-Fi.
Yes.
All those things.
Perfect.
Don Norton, are you someone that gets to pack up? Have you ever left for a 4th of July weekend?
Oh, I have a real hard time getting away. You know what? I actually have. I have some friends up in the North Woods area of Wisconsin, way up there around Hayward in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And once in a while, we can get away for 4 or 5 days.
Yeah.
That's a way, too. That's land of low cell phone reception, you know? It's a good place to go.
Unreachable. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Last year we actually left for a family vacation on the 5th. So I recall my last year's 4th of July being very hectic and last minute packing and with the family thing, it's actually my in-laws, all of my husband's sisters. He has 5 sisters.
Yeah. Girls weekend out. Huh?
Well, no, it's 5 sisters plus their husbands plus their kids. It ends up being, I want to say last count last year was 23, maybe 24 people.
My gosh.
It was such a big group. We were actually able to secure an entire bed and breakfast without like the staff. So we just basically took over the property. Beautiful place in Three Oaks, Michigan. But yeah, it's a little stressful.
It's a lot of people.
It's the kind of thing I'm still recovering from. They were talking about the place they're booking for next year. I'm like, oh, is that time already? It's time. All right, let's make those plans.
Well, if you go back to Three Oaks, there's a really cool distillery over there called Journeyman.
Ooh.
So FYI.
I'm going to go there. Plus, there's a great theater in Three Oaks as well.
Yes.
Yeah. So maybe I'll do a remote. That's what I should have done. I should have just done my shows from the family. Like, that way my life would feel somewhat normal. Like, sorry, everyone. I got to go to work. I got to do my show. I could have actually driven back and forth. I drove back for Nick D's movie night. He did Monty Python's The Meaning of Life last year during this holiday break. But next week, it's Airplane. Is everyone going to see Airplane next week?
Oh, that's
Tuesday?
Great.
No, not going to Esmeralda?
I can't.
Oh, you have to work.
Yeah.
Yeah, but me too.
Yeah, but you work later than I do.
That's true.
I would stay for like half an hour and then have to leave.
Yeah, I generally get about an hour to an hour and 15 minutes. The only movie I believe I've seen all the way through in his series has been Animal House. That's the only one. That was great. That was a great night. So Airplane is next Tuesday. We'll all be at the Movie Co. in Rosemont. It's $10. And, you know, it's free parking right there. We all hang out and have some drinks and some food before the movie. It's a lot of fun. But I was out and about today at the Skokie Parade and the Evanston Parade. And we had the WGN fan van rolling. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. And thank you, everybody, who cheered for WGN. It's always nice to hear. We love WGN. And I said, we love you, too. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, where we've got a lot of people walking on the street tonight. It's not as crowded as I thought it might be tonight. I know that there were some great fireworks at Navy Pier. Jen Kramer gave us a heads up on how people could travel there, so I'm hoping everyone is getting home safely. I know Esmeralda has mentioned an accident on Lakeshore Drive. I'm guessing there's a lot going on. I wonder if they were watching the fireworks, you know, or just turned for a second. There were people parked like along the I was trying to get to Illinois Street, and I could not get to Illinois, and had to continue on to like lower Michigan Avenue. And that bridge over the river, people were just parked and double parked in the street to watch the fireworks. And I just thought, I mean, I get that you didn't find parking, but you don't get to be in everybody's way.
Right. It's a big old mess. I hope you honked at them.
I did.
Honked at them a lot.
Esmeralda, you know, long and hard. You know, I did. Hey, one of those. I don't know what it is about the 4th of July in particular. And maybe, am I wrong? Are there other holidays where like all bets are off? You know, I mean, if people were out exploding stuff the way they are this week, causing the kind of chaos and mess, we wouldn't put up with it. But somehow we're like, it's the 4th.
New Year's.
New Year's, is it this? But it's too cold to light off this many. I guess, the drinking and the
I would say the
stupidity.
Behavior-wise.
Yeah.
They just don't have fireworks.
I'm a little bit rattled because it was extremely loud in Jefferson Park. 312-981-7200. I want to know how it's going in your neighborhood. You can call and text us, because last night seemed to go on to at least 1 in the morning. And today I was getting ready. I was leaving and I stopped by to see my mom and I kept flinching. I thought they were in our gangway. I thought they were in the sidewalk in between the houses. It sounded so loud. And I went outside and I did take a Facebook Live video on my own page. You can listen to how loud and how prevalent the fireworks are. There were at least 3 groups in a triangular formation at ends of the park, all setting off fireworks without any sort of consideration. Well, one, obviously there's no consideration, but I don't know what people are supposed to do after they set something on fire, watch it, zing into the air and explode. But then they just go into do another one without appreciating the last one. I would think that if you're setting off fireworks, there should be some sort of ha, I did that. But it's just like going to the next one. It just seems like I'm just blowing stuff up to blow it up. I just don't understand. Jasmine, what do you want to say? How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I wanted to offer you guys some beginning of the show entertainment, since it's the last hour of the 4th of July.
Okay.
And I wanted to see if would you guys like to hear me sing Star Spangled Banner?
The whole song?
Just first verse of it, I guess.
Let's hear you sing. Absolutely. Go ahead, Jasmine.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. For the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave for the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Hey, Jasmine. That was really lovely. Thank you, Jasmine. That's not easy to sing in public, and you just sang over the airwaves for WGN listeners.
I was shaking. Could you hear it in my voice?
That was really lovely. And you know what? There was a moment where I'm never good at turning a song into my own key. And you just said, so are you studying music, Jasmine?
During the school year, I was in beginning choir, and I had 2 solos.
Oh.
One in the winter concert and one in the spring concert.
Very cool. Well done, Jasmine. What did you do for the 4th of July?
Stay in the house because my neighbors were blowing up stuff.
Isn't that crazy?
Because I can't see it. I can only see out of one eye. So 4th of July is not really fun for me.
No, I can imagine. It's kind of, it can be traumatic. I think that a lot of people just feel like, oh, here we go. I just have to get through this weekend.
And one of my friends has a dog.
Mm-hmm.
And I called her tonight and she said the dog was just freaking out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dog looked like he was just perpetually nauseous.
Do you blow anything up?
Never. I haven't blown up a firecracker. Like, you know those little tiny firecrackers that are like, there are some that are like about 2 inches, 3 inches long. When I was a kid, my cousin had like a whole bunch of them, and he like lit them all while they were in his hand, and then he dropped them and ran. And I was kind of traumatized by that because I thought he was going to lose his hand.
Wow.
So, I mean, I've lit a punk. Do you know what a punk is? Those are like those, and sparklers. Punks are
yeah,
like,
I've done those before.
Yeah, those, and even then, like the sparklers make me nervous. I've let Griffin have one, but I'm not crazy about it.
The things my neighbors are blowing up right now, those are cherry bombs, and they sound like cannonballs.
Yeah, and then the bottle rockets, those are the ones that whistle, aren't they?
Yeah.
But the ones at the park across the street from my house, a lot of them were the big explosive, and then, you know, with the trails and everything. I don't get it.
I thought you would have a lot of firecrackers since you have kids and stuff.
No, we go to the professional fireworks. My husband took the boys to see the Evanston fireworks, and we don't take Declan as much anymore because he wants to get in the water, and we usually go to Lighthouse Beach in Evanston. My husband's going to hate that I just said that because he hates when people know where I go and do things.
So you're like Nick, you're under your couch crying.
Yeah, I stayed in. Declan and I stayed in. I did some work last night. And
Esmeralda, please don't tell Nick I just said that.
No, Nick was saying that he feels bad for all the cats and dogs right
now. Yeah, he doesn't like it either.
Well, I hope you guys had a good weekend.
You too. Have a great week, Jasmine. We look forward to hearing from you again.
All right, bye.
Bye. So 312-981-7200. I do feel like it's just, we just are at the point where we go, it's the 4th of July. You can't call the cops. I have a friend who is a 911 dispatcher, and she has a selfie of herself with the caption that says, yeah, what's your emergency? Fireworks on the 4th? Does that sound familiar to you? But, I mean, at what point did we just, and obviously the police department has so much else to deal with, but at what point did we stop citing people for fireworks? Is it just too many people? This seems like easy pickings.
Yeah, when it's every other house.
Yeah, I don't. But like at the park, right? At the big parks with the, that just seems like easy picking. Lights on. What other things are going on in some of the? I don't know. I think this seems to be a citywide thing. I'm not singling out any patrol car at all because I think that they're focused on other events. They have to make sure that there isn't something else going on.
Right.
But when did we make it that our policy? The policy of the city of Chicago. I mean, dibs is one thing, people. But explosives. I don't like going to bed thinking, is this the night my house burns down? Is this the night? I remember when I was a kid, a friend of mine had her parents let her. They were all sitting on the porch and setting off fireworks. And one, like, shot off. It didn't go into the air. It went under a car and, like, was bouncing around under a car. I'm like, this is when the car blows up, right? I mean, I wonder how much property damage there is over a weekend like this.
Well, and it's amazing how many people get hurt. They hurt themselves
exactly.
With fireworks. We had a story on the other day that a guy blew his hand off, you know. You think, you got to be kidding me.
Well, there were kids at the park that I was filming, and like the kids went to go run and they tripped over each other to get away from the explosive, and I thought, and then they got up and they were laughing and they went back and set off some more because they made it that time. But it makes me nervous. I don't know when we all became part of the sort of, just kids will be kids, or it's just the 4th of July.
Well, it's also the parents that are,
they're buying
them the firecracker. I mean, I don't think those kids are driving to Indiana.
Yeah. The folks that are enduring the noise and the chaos, maybe you don't want to call and tell me how frustrated you are. I'd like to hear from the people who light them. What thrill do you get? Because I watched three different groups of people, and they just were lighting one after another after another. There didn't seem to be any joy or excitement or happiness with doing that. They were just like doing it to do it. And it just seems like money out of your pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going for the loudest one, the one that goes? And even then, it doesn't seem like they're like watching it or tracking it. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. We are setting up for our live band coming up at midnight. Right now I'm taking your calls about, I'm trying to find the name of the band because I know it's a pronunciation. I can't hear you. She's trying to say it and I'm like, nope, that's not going to be able to help me. Can you tell me what's the name of the band? Hold on. No, this is going very well. Have it in here somewhere. Here, hold on a second. What's the name of the band?
Mina Cerno?
Yeah. Mina Cerno. It's really good that you picked something so hard. Now I'm not going to remember any of your names. Now I've met all of you, and all your names have fallen up with like a Jim and a Joe and a Maggie. They'll be coming up after midnight. Aubrey, our engineer, is setting up their equipment right now. We're talking about the fireworks and how you're tolerating them this weekend. What do you think, Matthew?
Hi, Patty.
Hi.
Yeah, I grew up in Norwood Park, and I know you've made fun of me for going to Taft.
I don't know. I take that back. If you sense that I was making fun of you for going to Taft High School, I apologize sincerely.
Well, I can understand. You know, you're probably more than 10 years younger than me. You know, Taft used to be actually a good school.
Yeah, but it's starting to be a good school again, isn't it? I've heard that it's going well. Oh.
Well, I'm removed from there, and I think they scared all the good teachers away.
And the good students.
You know.
I think that the parents invested in taking their kids out of the neighborhood. I mean, you had some great schools feeding Taft. I think that it is.
Yeah.
They hired a great principal, and I think it's doing well again. But what did you want to say about the fireworks in our neighborhood?
I got to wonder. You know, yeah, you got to wonder if the kids in Edgebrook and Sauganash are still going there. I don't think so.
I think they're starting to come back. I think that after the recession in 2008, I think it was harder for people to afford private schools. And, you know, obviously you try to get your kids into a magnet school. And I think that there was a push to make sure that Taft was a school that kids could stay in the area for.
Yeah, and we know that the kids in Sauganash and Edgebrook, they went on to Ivy League schools.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, back to the fireworks.
Yes, the fireworks.
You were saying that, yeah, somebody said that, you know, there's got to be an adult connection there, probably older brothers and cool parents. But in my day, in the 60s and 70s, you know who had always had the best fireworks?
Who always had the best fireworks?
The police and the kids.
Okay. I know that's because we grew up in Norwood Park. You're probably right about that. Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. They always had mini bikes and go-karts because the police would confiscate the stuff from other kids and give it to their kids.
Yeah, I know, and I hate to say it, but you're probably right about that. There were always a lot of fireworks going on at Norwood Park, but I don't remember it being in alleys, right? Because, I mean, I lived right off of Northwest Highway, and I don't remember there being, you know, constant fireworks until 1 or 2 in the morning. There seemed to be some sort of, at least, some order to it.
In this economy, and they say it's a world record now, the amount of money that people are spending on that every year. You know, I mean, wasting money on fireworks, seeing with strip clubs and all that, that's at an all-time high. You know, in this economy,
I'm not sure
I just
how you went from fireworks to strip clubs, but I do like your train of thought, Matthew.
Well, I guess the state announced today the amount of taxes they were getting from that.
From
but
strip clubs?
I just don't get it in this economy that people just, you know, I used to buy some fireworks till I was about 21, and then I remember lighting the last one year, and I thought, you know what? This is a waste of money.
Exactly.
It's like flushing money down the toilet.
Yeah. Did you ever get a rush from lighting fireworks?
Yeah. Like I said, it just all of a sudden one day, I think I was 21, and I just said, this is like flushing money down the toilet.
Yeah.
And I grew out of it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I guess I think people do it out of habit now. It's just their thing to do on the 4th of July is really tick off all their neighbors. Because it's a small group of people that are getting their happies on, and everybody else has to deal with it. And the poor dogs and cats are just shaking under beds. Don't you think?
Like you said, you know, you worry about your building burning down.
That's the thing, is property damage. I'm surprised more houses, garages, cars don't get damaged by the fireworks.
Well, you know, the police did used to come out in the old days. You know, I was wondering, like you, when did that stop?
Yeah, when did it just turn the other way?
They used to fine you for every pack of firecrackers, every bottle rocket, every whatever.
Yeah.
And now they don't come out until something burns down.
Yeah, I don't know. It does seem like we're, you know, sort of. It's like, what's that movie where you can kill someone? You have 24 hours to kill. Purge. It's kind of like fireworks purge. Just blow up whatever you want, and then we'll talk to you tomorrow. Just don't do it the rest of the year.
The poor dogs.
Exactly. All right. Oh, we lost our other caller. All right. Thank you, Matthew. Have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Happy bye-bye. Fourth. You too. What did our other caller want to say? He was waiting too long. He didn't want to hear about the dogs anymore. Yeah, the dogs are losing it. Poor Monty. My dog doesn't go crazy. He just looks really sad. Like, why is this happening to me?
Oh, my dog. When I had a dog, July 4th, we would put him in the basement because it was big and he'd just run around. He ate like half a door frame.
Oh, no.
He just chewed it to bits.
Yeah, the anxiety got to him.
Yeah, he freaked out.
That's sad. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the fireworks. I do have to say, though, the parade today, the Skokie Parade, was fantastic. Roger Badish doing such a great job emceeing the event. And we were behind Catherine Johns. That was so strange to me. From WLS? Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, it's Catherine Johns right in front of me.
Well, it's a day of unity.
Yes, exactly. a lot of media folks out at the Skokie Parade. I was rolling with Dr. Charles Turk, who is one of our regulars on the Pretty Late Show. He was wearing a spectacular 4th of July ensemble with a red and white striped jacket and blue, like just a whole suit, like a summer suit, but all decked out in 4th of July, plus Uncle Sam socks, which I felt bad because you couldn't see them inside the van. He did display them when we were in Skokie, and then I needed him to I was going to try to ride on top of the van. But Charles informed me that it would not be appropriate. My skirt was a little short, and it was showing more than maybe we want to reveal to our listeners, and that my family would want me to reveal. My mom was very happy. She goes, oh, good. I'm so glad that we have a friend in Charles to protect you and everyone else around you. By the way, for anyone tuning in for the first time, my mother's from Mexico. It's just, I'm not doing an impression of Scarface. It just sounds very wrong. Or John Voight in Anaconda. That's a big snake. Did you ever see John Voight in Anaconda?
Wait, and he did that accent?
Oh, it's so bad, Esmeralda.
Oh, no. What is he supposed to be?
He's supposed to be some sort of Latino. I can't remember.
Oh, no.
It was one of Jennifer Lopez's early movies. Yeah, they're all like... It's a big...
How is she in that and just did not protest? Like, come on, guys.
Oh, I think early in your career, you pretty much do whatever they ask you to. You're like, okay, I guess he's doing that voice. Sure, that sounds good, John. Yeah. Go ahead and do that accent. That sounds fantastic. Yeah, my mom was very glad because she was trying to pull my dress down when I was leaving for the parade. You ever leave the house and your mom's like fixing your hair and she's like pulling on the hem of my dress? This is too short to get away. So I did not ride on top of the van. I did hang out the window, though.
You should have left in pants and then changed just as you went out the house.
Or let her pull the skirt down and just hike it back up when I left.
There you go.
I don't know how I could have done it differently. I was sitting there in the van thinking maybe I could have gotten like white tights. Like there was no do-overs on this event today. So I'll have to figure it out next year.
Big bloomers.
Yes, that would have been very patriotic.
There you go.
There was a Betsy Ross, you know, but she had like the whole wig and the huge dress. And I thought that's just too much work for the 4th of July. I had my Captain America costume that Griffin picked out for me. So it was just fine. Anyway, it's weird because the band is in the studio just kind of staring at me and they can only hear half the conversation. It's very strange. But I have I've pulled out their information to make sure that I have it. They'll be playing after midnight. It's Mina. I got to put an accent over that E. Mina Sir No. That sounds very poetic the way I say it. Mina Sir No. That's terrible. I'm looking at the better way. Mina Cerno. How's that better? I'm going to do it. Let me roll it a little bit. Mina Cerno. There you go. Now no one will ever forget this band. And they're going to be performing, again, after midnight. And they're celebrating the release of In No Place with a performance at Chicago's Metro next month on, this month, actually, Saturday, July 9th. That's coming up in a few days. You're listening pretty late. Do I have a live right here? That's all right. Esmeralda, could you sing a little bit for us?
Happy birthday to you. I don't know why that came out. That's like, free, right?
Do you like going to birthday parties?
Not really.
Do you like going out?
I do. Okay. I just don't. I just like going out, though, and not having to focus and celebrate anything. Can we just go out?
Yeah. No, you and I have done that before.
Yeah, I like those. But when there's pressure, because then you have to be like, hey, the whole time and just upbeat and always have to bring it up.
I'm trying to think of the last time I've been to like a birthday party, because then there's that awkward, do you bring presents? And I only brought like a gift card, or I didn't bring a present, I'll give it to you later. And then some people, I'm glad to not be a kid anymore, where you like that awkward, do you open your presents in front of everybody?
Ugh, I hated all that. And one, my parents were never big on celebrating birthdays, like as a party form. They would, you know, we would go out to dinner and do something like that. But I would never really have friends over. I had one big party when I was 7.
Right.
And then that was it.
And that was it? Your one big party?
I never got one again, which was fine. I was like, no, that's fine. Whatever. My birthday.
When you went to other people's parties, though, were you excited to go to somebody else's house and celebrate there? I kind of was.
Sort of, but...
There was anxiety, too.
Yeah, because you don't know, are they going to like my present? And because sometimes kids can be mean.
They can't be. I do remember walking home crying from one party one time, but I can't. I think that was probably. I can't remember what happened. I mean, I think I felt like I was being picked on, and then when you get older, you're like, was I imagining it? Was I overreacting? You know, when those hormones start to kick in, around 11 or something, everything makes you mad, everything makes you sad, everything feels intense. I think that was one of those kinds of parties.
That's frightening.
I wonder how much our childhood experiences affect the study that she gave me, that Shante gave me, which is that most people don't. Everyone, I don't know about everyone, but that everyone secretly hates to go out. I don't. I don't,
it really depends.
Yeah. I don't dread it ever. I don't think I'm oh, yeah, I told so-and-so I was going to go to this. When I say that I'm going to go someplace and I don't make it, something had to have come up that really precluded my ability to enjoy that situation.
Right. Although sometimes, you know what? For me, it's more a matter of money. Because mm-hmm. I'm always pretty much up for going out, unless I'm very tired. But even then, I'll just drink a Red Bull and let's go.
Get it done. Yeah.
But yeah, if it's a money thing, because then you feel weird and you're like, oh, I can't spend that much money. And
right.
If people want to go to dinner. See, those are the ones that freak me out.
Oh, the
group dinners.
Well, then you got to worry about the bill.
That's the worst.
And you try being, and now they have these apps where you can do you can split the bill. You can enter in however much you did consider that. Well, I only had this. Yeah, but you didn't count the tax or the gratuity.
And I feel bad for the waiters.
Oh.
You have to give them that. Be like, I'm only spending $5. This one's only $7. It's like, oh man.
I feel like more restaurants have gotten better about, is it going to be separate checks? But on a big group, that's a hassle
true.
Too.
I went to a place once. I was elated. They gave a check to each person
mm-hmm.
because they could do it on the computer. So we shared an appetizer. They were able to split it amongst
all the people
at the table. It was amazing technology.
See, listen, restaurant owners, these are the little things that we love. I mean, if it happens that often, at what point is it us and what point is it them? Oh my gosh. Are those all bike cops? Those are all bike cops. Can you all?
Are they in their own parade?
At least a dozen. Nope. Here comes some more. That's a lot of bike cops.
It's the bike cop parade.
That's all the bike cops. The city of Chicago. That is all the bike cops. That's all that we have. That's got to be at least 30 right there. Just went by. That's all of them. That's all that we have left. I mean, they're off duty now. It looks like they're being escorted by a squad too to make sure that
that's nice.
Yeah, they get through traffic well.
I do not understand bike cops. Just in the sense of I would be so tired every day.
Oh, they're fit.
Those
bike cops were
nonstop.
Fit. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a good idea. Obviously, when you're down at whether it's Navy Pier along the lakefront.
Of course.
Yeah,
very good.
I never saw the lights. They've got the cop lights.
Does it go woo woo?
That's what I was wondering. The same thing. There was what do you call? It's not a rickshaw, but the people that give the little pedicabs.
Yes.
There was one that turned right on red without stopping, just whipped through the red light in front of me as I was coming through the intersection.
Oh boy.
Oh, I mean, and I have the WGN fan van. I can't hit anybody. I mean, not that I want to hit anybody anyway, but I can't go causing any sort of.
Yeah, you have to be super careful.
Yeah, then it's at one. Everyone knows who was driving the WGN fan van, and people are going to be calling the station. Do you know what I saw on the Kennedy? Yeah, that I can't play with the. But this guy whipped in for, so I can't roll the window down and start yelling at him and tell the people on his pedicab, get off, your lives are in danger.
I would hope that they felt that.
Yes.
Whipping around a corner, they would feel in danger.
He took, you know when you've been in traffic and you're all poised to take a left and someone behind you decides that you're not taking the left in a timely manner, even though you see that there's still oncoming traffic? The pedicab took a left around a cab.
I know. I was on my bike at 5 a.m. turning on an empty street, but I follow the rules.
Yes.
And I sat there waiting for the light, and a car comes up and they just start honking at me. I'm like, what do you want me to do? It's a red light. Yeah. I got so angry.
Yeah, I can't be a cyclist. I took one ride on Michigan Avenue after that Bike the Drive.
No, don't ride Michigan Avenue.
Oh, people are so
no,
bad.
No, you can't. No, that's too busy. It's too busy.
Do you ever see people who have helmets with the little side view mirror? Like they have a little stick that has a little tiny mirror.
Yeah, that's smart, but
it
still.
Is, but that would not help me. I would just be looking at that the whole time.
Exactly.
You know?
You know, did you ever learn that trick that when you're driving a car,
mm-hmm.
like you're supposed to focus on the middle of the front thing where the motor is?
Okay.
Is
like the hood ornament?
There you go, the hood. Okay. It's supposed to be in the middle of the curb or something.
No.
No, there's something, it's like an allude, like it's not technically, but that's how it's so that you know it's like lined up.
Okay.
As you're driving.
Okay.
Well, whatever that was. I remember when I first started, I was doing that. And then my dad was like, you're going off the curb. I'm like, what? Because I was focusing so much on making
thing.
That. Yeah. Mm. No, it was no good.
I try to be both a defensive and offensive driver. I think you have to strike a balance in the city of Chicago. You have to have a certain amount of aggression and a certain amount of patience. You definitely have to have patience. But you have to still be like to get through stuff. Like when I'm coming down Hubbard, there's so much stupid on Hubbard. So I am patiently aggressive.
No, I
I
become such an angry biker, angry walker. I just have so much rage sidewalk and road.
Yes, pedestrian rage I think is on the rise, and I have felt that for many years. I don't the sudden stopping, the very very slow. Now people have texted and called before saying I have a condition, and I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about one flip floppers. People who wear flip flops and cannot move in a decent pace. People who shufflers. Shuffle, you got to pick up the pace. And you know what? Move out. Just like traffic. You can move over to the right. At your own pace. If you're gonna take your time, you got to move over to the right.
The worst are when it's a group of two. Two to three, four, five, six, seven. And they're just covering the whole sidewalk.
The things.
And then they blame you.
Yeah.
For
what?
Walking. I'm like, no, I'm on the right side.
Yeah. Well, there's people who lack a sense of urgency and have no concept of others, right? That the entire universe is theirs. All the space that I take up, it doesn't matter who else might come into my periphery. Yeah, that's it is maddening. And again, it takes us back to the fireworks.
Exactly. No one cares anymore.
Yeah. I do want to know why when it became a blanket, we're not going to do anything about it anymore. Does anyone know? We haven't gotten any answers on this, when the city just gave up on fining or going after fireworks.
I wonder if they get fined when they're in the park, because isn't it after 11? The park closes technically?
Yeah,
all the
I think the parks close.
City parks?
I think they close at night. Yeah, you get all kinds of fines. I thought that this is a city that liked to collect fines. I mean,
right?
I park for 5 minutes past my meter and I get a $50 fine. People are shooting off $500 worth of fireworks.
My boyfriend, he dropped me off and he went to Billy Goat to get something to eat. They fined him. His thing was for 10:30 and it was like 10 o'clock.
Oh.
It was 10 o'clock and his thing was until 10:30. And he's like, why would you fine me? This isn't even correct in any sense.
Doesn't the meter in front of the Billy Goat, doesn't that end? You don't have to pay anymore for 10 o'clock?
I don't know.
Oh, that's
But he had the ticket that said 10. He paid till 10:30. But they ticketed him at 10.
Well, then he could fight that.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. He's got a copy of that. Okay.
For sure. But it's maddening because they won't even, I think he went to the DMV and he's like, hey, this isn't, he's like, no, you have to go in person. It's like, what?
Yeah.
So he has to go to court.
Yeah. Well, they have those little courts all over the place. Like there's that one on Addison across the street from Lane Tech.
What?
Yeah. Is it a parking? Don't they do the parking tickets at those little ones?
Where?
Yeah, there's little courtrooms like all over the city.
Really?
Yeah.
I'll have to tell him.
I don't think
it's in that mini mall?
Yeah, it's in
that
mini mall. Yeah. With the what nails?
There's a nail salon there called Pro Nails.
Okay. By the McDonald's. There's a McDonald's. There used to be a Big and Tall store.
Oh, there's okay. That's
city,
over there.
So like a city Department of Revenue sort of place, but they have.
Got it.
Like
that's Addison. Okay, I was
Addison.
Thinking Western.
Addison and Western. It's on Addison. Right across from Lane Tech by the McDonald's. And they have like a little courtroom in there. And you bring your evidence. I've gone in there and contested tickets.
So like night court?
Successfully. Yeah, it's very much like night court. Less furniture. A lot less furniture in there. It's very... Don Norton, have you ever fought a ticket before?
Yes, actually, I have, and I won, actually.
Congratulations. This is a good feeling, isn't it?
I think it was in L.A. I lived in L.A. for a while, and I did that out there. Yeah, it is a good feeling. And, you know,
victory.
It's not the money, right? Maybe it is.
It's the money.
Sometimes
they're $100 tickets.
Yes, in that regard, it's the money. But really, it's the principle of the thing. I mean, I got a parking ticket. I was out in Monterey, California a month or so ago. I got a parking ticket. I think it was $30. And you know what? It was really ticky-tacky.
Right.
You know, I was parked a little bit over the line back behind the parking spot.
Oh, you were outside of the designated parking spot? You got one of those?
Got one of those. And I mean, come on. First of all, it wasn't the real marking. It was just they were going to mark it, so they just kind of had it penciled off.
Oh, jeez.
And I thought, you know, it's not like somebody could not park behind me. Somebody had parked behind me, and then another car came in. There was plenty of room.
Somebody else set the pattern of parking off.
Exactly.
Right. It was I'm just, see.
The principle of the thing.
Oh, man.
I know.
And she was saying that Esmeralda, donotpay.com is an option as well.
Oh, really?
Do not. Oh.
Is that an advice page? You can tell us on the air.
Donotpay.com.
No?
I love it.
It's donotpay.com.
Are you sure? Because it's just a website that says donotpay.com on it.
Robot lawyer. That sounds like something that could go to robots, doesn't it? I mean, that makes sense because then it just pulls up all the current like statutes, has all the information at hand. Oh, lawyers. I just got an idea. I think we're going robo-lawyers. I mean, that seems so much better than robo-cops, doesn't it, Esmeralda?
I would love to see that, like from the Jetsons.
Yeah.
Just rolls into the courtroom.
Yeah, just has all the, you know, just pulls
I
up
object.
A screen. Okay, yes. It really affects our courtroom dramas, you know. Not going to have any more A Few Good Men. It's going to be all very, a little more.
Well, we'd get cyborg ones at one point, or the kind that look like people.
Yeah.
And we would put in personalities.
Right. I want to make it a contentious or a passionate lawyer.
Right.
I want them to be one of those ones that yells a lot.
Yeah. I want 1940s Southern lawyer.
Oh, I like that. What we got here is.
There you go. He wipes his brow.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. He has a handkerchief. He's got to have a handkerchief.
It's sunrise. There's smoke.
You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It's Music Monday, and we have Mina Cerno, and they're playing on July 9th at the Metro to celebrate the release of In No Place, their latest CD, and we have that in front of us. We are setting up their equipment, and we will hear from them very shortly. It's Monday night. Things are a little bit... Esmeralda, do you feel like it's one of those nights where like nobody else came to school but us?
Yeah, no, I thought it was Tuesday.
Did you really?
I thought it was Tuesday. My days have been running together a little bit.
Yeah, I'm so disoriented right now. And a lot of cop cars just went by, and I kind of feel like maybe they're coming to arrest me.
Oh, no.
I'm not sure what I did.
You're in trouble.
I know. Maybe I did hit that guy with a pedicab with the WGN fan. It was just so very recognizable. I went shopping at a little store that I've mentioned on the show before that I'm not going to mention again tonight because I know that when I talk about politics, people start to clench a little bit and everybody kind of hears what they want to hear. There's a picture I was thinking about posting of a group that I met at the Evanston Parade, and it was the National Organization of Women, and they had posters that said "Keep Abortion Legal," and I took a selfie with them because I do believe in protecting women's right to choose, and I thought if I I put that on my Facebook page, but I'm like, well, so I say it on my show. I defend the right for women to take control of their own bodies, and I fight for Planned Parenthood to keep its funding. And I know that people that disagree with that, but I have a talk show. Like, this is my job. I show up and I have an opinion, and it's up to everybody to call and disagree with me. People get very angry and they attack the station, and so all kinds of things sort of erupt from that. I'm willing to listen to conversations, and I may not sound like I'm very open to it. I try very hard, but I there are things that I believe strongly in. There are people that believe very strongly in their position. I don't know when we got so angry at each other. So I went into this store that I really like. It's actually the skirt I'm wearing is, I love this skirt. It's reversible.
Wait, it's a cute skirt.
Thank you very much. It's reversible. And it has like this belt comes off. It's got a little pouch. It's, anyway, I wanted to go get another one like it. And I walked in and the woman, she goes, can you believe this investigation? And she was talking about the investigation into Hillary's, you know, whether or not she was involved in Benghazi and all this. And she's like, I waited to see which way she was going to go with it. And I was, it didn't even matter. Like, I didn't go in there to talk about that. I wanted to go buy a skirt.
Yeah, that seems a bit much for retail.
Oh, like the front of the gate. because she knows me and she knows that I have this show. And I thought maybe, I guess maybe as a talk show host or somebody who talks politics, like I was ready to go. And so maybe that's how people feel when they tune in. They don't want, you know, some nights they feel like it. Some people do want to talk about politics. They want to get serious and get into the nitty gritty and the nuts and bolts. And I come on and they're like, you know, it's not enough or it's too much. And so I, you know what? I went to that store and I kind of get it. I will try to, that's what I would do is my pledge this 4th of July to being a better American is to be more aware of what it means to be an American citizen, to have an opinion, to respect others. Because someone asked me today at the parade, it was this girl who was going to Medill School of Journalism for like this summer program. And I guess there was something trending today. It was hashtag America was never great. And she asked me what I thought about that. And I said, well, it's people get to do that. I don't agree with it. And, you know, people have all kinds of struggles. I know what my family's struggle has been. And I said, you know, I've always tried to come from the point of view that what are we doing? You know, people get very angry and see other people taking something from them or having more advantages than they do. Everyone seems, no matter what group you're from, there are certain people who scream about other people taking their things, and I just want to know, I want to do something better. I want to figure out what I should be doing to make my neighborhood a better place, to make my city a better place, to make this state, this country, you know, just to be a better human being in general. But this whole divisiveness, we have an article about, you know, when you're arguing at work with people over politics. I think there are certain environments where you assume everyone holds your opinion. That's sort of presumptuous, isn't it?
There's places to me where you shouldn't really discuss certain things because it can get funky.
It gets very funky.
And it's like, maybe we shouldn't do this because we have to see each other every day and we might say something.
That's all over.
And then now we have to see each other every day and it's going to be real weird.
Yeah.
And you might be very angry all the time now. And I don't know. There's like work. It depends.
Yeah.
No, for most workplaces, I mean, we're different because we, you know, this is what we do. We talk about stuff.
Right.
But, you know,
yeah,
in the supermarket.
Yes.
The register person and the back of the store person probably shouldn't be arguing about politics or religion.
Yes.
Just because it's like, let's keep it cash, guys.
Yeah, our opinions have now become our identity. Right. If someone disagrees with us or they hold an opinion that we really dislike, all of a sudden that defines our relationship. I can't believe you think that.
And you can, you know, you can have that opinion. Just don't, let's not talk about it while we're at work.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's not. I know.
Let's just stack this milk and be cool. Be cool, guys.
And in social situations, too, I was talking to a friend of mine about, she knew my dad. And my dad had a very, let's just say a very, he was eclectic in his beliefs and he would was very vocal, but he had friends that were even more so, very colorful in their language about different racial and religious groups. And I would get into arguments with them all the time. I mean, I just think there would have been much more interesting conversations to have, you know, whether it was about sports or, you know, what it was like growing up or the jobs that they had. But no, they had to go. I remember one of it was about a Mexican baseball player. And he's like, yeah, that one just drinks too much cactus juice, if you know what I mean. And, you know, and he's just, I should just let it go. But I was like 17 or 18. I'm like, no, what do you mean? What do you mean? You know, you drink too much tequila. I bet you he's not going to make it in the league. So he's going to be one and done because he drinks too much of that cactus juice. It was just like so dismissive of, and like, I don't know what the big deal was or why I had to engage him, but it just grossed me out.
Well, in my, for me, I'd be like, no, let's go.
Let's see.
Because it's different. Those are friends.
Yeah.
I had the same situation with a cousin of mine who none of us like, except my dad.
Yeah.
Because he's a very nice man and sees the best in everyone. But no, I've had like knockdown dragouts where it was a thing of like they had to separate us. And no, but everyone hates him. So it's fine. We don't talk to him anymore.
Yeah, that's how it is in my family. We just kind of like minimize the exposure so that we can keep this relationship going. I have in-laws. I mentioned my in-laws in the last hour. And we just try to avoid certain conversations. And, you know, but it's just a shame that it can't just be a conversation. It just becomes insulting. People just start yelling at each other.
Right. Well, when the argument is something like they drink too much cactus juice, there's really nowhere you can go from there. Like, you know, it's like, no, that's not really a response that warrants me. Like, how am I supposed to, where do I go with that? That's not going to, it's just you saying, well, no. That's not how everyone does that.
Yeah, that's not. It was just so random and ignorant was the way it felt. And I was only a teenager, and I just wanted to be away from it. But when you're in those situations and someone goes completely against what's in your heart, I guess. So that's what it comes down to, and it's politics. It's people feel very personally. And that was a conversation I was having with a gentleman from the National Organization of Women there are certain aspects of politics where if you believe this one thing, that defines you for the whole. There's no wiggle room whatsoever. He was saying that the idea that a woman should be able to have the medical control over her own body, the idea that it's liberal should not even be in the conversation. It shouldn't have a political lineage to it. It should just be something that is considered medical. So we were having that conversation, but I wonder how they did in the parade, because I believe they were in the parade behind us. Oh, do you know who I saw? Took a selfie with Tammy Duckworth today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
I did see picture. I don't know. It wasn't you.
I haven't posted mine yet.
Okay, so yeah, I just saw pictures of people in parades, and yeah, I saw she was in the parades.
She was. Mark Kirk was in a different parade. I would have taken a selfie with him as well, but his lipstick wouldn't have been as cool as Tammy Duckworth's. I mean, maybe he was wearing great lipstick. I don't know.
What was she wearing?
Tammy and I look like we're wearing the same color. And I'm wearing a lot of different colors. I just layer them. See how I did that? I went from a conversation about politics to, what are you wearing?
Wake up. Yesterday, you were lying in my arms. We were lost in all.
forget me. See the world through bloodshot eyes. The shine, it just won't stop. And it's so strange dealing with the feeling when you know that everything has changed. Enemies like us around us, believing that they found us. The road appeared, and so you ran, filled with fear. These weapons in my hand, the end is near, you bury. Silence seems to sound in fury. The fight is on, I grab my guns. If this is done, come on, come on, come on. That was Minas or No, right? Am I getting that correct? Come on over. Yeah, come on, sit down, Maggie. They are playing on July 9th at the Metro. And you saw Aubrey. I'm like, there's a lot of buttons.
Yeah.
Just yes, a lot of things. Is. We will work on figuring things out as we go forward. So I didn't want you to panic. We were Facebook. Here, do you want to take your Facebook Live?
Facebook Live.
We're still doing that right there. I'm just going to hold the camera on you. Maggie, correct?
Yes.
Excellent. See, I remembered that.
Yes.
I got that right. And joining us over here at this microphone is...
Hey, what's up? It's Joe.
Hey, Joe. How are you doing? I'm good. I'm taking care of your face.
I don't mind
this at all.
You like it?
This is kind of comfortable for me. where are you going, Joe? You just sat down.
Yeah.
No, I'm not kidding. I'm holding your Facebook. I won't do this.
She came over and tried taking the camera away from me.
I'm honored that Patty is holding that iPhone right now.
Can you see yourself? Am I doing that all right?
There
you
go. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Where can people find this Facebook Live video right now?
On our Facebook page, Mina Cerno, MenaCerno. That's where we get lost on people sometimes.
You can come sit down. Okay. Why is he standing?
We're polite.
Yeah, no, it's very polite. Everyone's invited. I need a chair for the drum player. Okay, so we have Joe right there.
Yep.
Brian.
Pete.
I'm going to forget that immediately. There's a lot going on. Pete, Brian,
and Jay's
Joe,
back there.
Maggie. Do you want to come over and hang out with us? Or I'm making everyone dizzy on Facebook. You can grab that chair and take it with you if you want. And I think there should be a microphone. Otherwise, you have to share Brian's.
I'm great.
Come on over and share with me.
Great drumming. So I'm sure that your friends will be posting that it was a little all over the place. This is something that takes a lot of time. We do this every Monday, and it's not fair to Aubrey because we're complicated people.
We appreciate him.
We appreciate you, Aubrey.
Yes.
Thank
we
you.
We appreciate you.
You see, he's like trying to get everything going. So you have this album coming out, or has it come out already?
It's technically online right now as we speak on Spotify, Bandcamp, all of the... syndicated iTunes at midnight tonight. So,
and it's called In No Place.
Yes.
And where are you from originally, Maggie?
Originally, I'm from New York.
Oh, you barely hear people coming from New York to Chicago.
I don't like New York.
I'm with you. What made you leave?
You know, a mix of being there my whole life and it's too fast.
Okay.
The life there, lifestyle is way too fast.
And how long have you been in Chicago?
9 years.
Wow.
Dating myself.
No. We should all be dating ourselves. We'd all be safer. What brought you, though, originally, aside from not liking New York anymore?
I went to school at Columbia College for theater.
So many musicians that we've seen in the studio have gone to Columbia.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it's you did, Aubrey, program. But it sounded like there were fireworks in my ear. Was that on the air? Esmeralda, did you hear that? It was just in my head.
That was, yeah.
Okay. It was a pow pow. By the way, for people who heard it the first time, they were like, you didn't need to reenact that.
Oh.
So you came here for studying music at Columbia?
For a theater, actually.
Oh, for theater.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what were your goals?
To make it big, man. To do Broadway, I guess. And then I couldn't dance the way that my dance teacher wanted me to. So
I gave up that dream. See, it takes just one teacher to take us off the path.
Oh, yeah. No, but she told me. She's like, are you sure you want to be a performer? And I was like, cool.
Yeah, I will be a performer.
That's some fighting words. There.
That was that. All right. Well, there you go. Joe, where are you from originally?
I've been around Chicago, suburbs, surrounding areas for like my whole life. So I've been
in and out. You know, this station is in Chicago, so we might know at least one of the places that you've been.
Oaklawn, Orland Park.
Okay, so some of the Southwest suburbs.
Southwest.
All right. And how did you find Maggie, or how did Maggie find you?
Well, one day it was a Craigslist ad.
No.
It was a surf in the web.
You're a
Craigslist
band?
Yeah. They are the original. Pete and Brian over there are the original members.
Pete's like, please don't put the camera on me. Why is there a Facebook camera on me? Well, here, Joe, first. So what was the first instrument that you played?
First instrument I ever played was probably like the flute.
The flute?
Yeah.
Like the recorder or the actual flute?
No, the flute. You know, like in sixth grade, they'd make you play an instrument.
No.
So I just picked
that one. But many musicians have told me stories. Yes, go ahead.
I just picked that one.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, played the bass when I was about like 12. I just kept playing with it. So.
Okay. Hold on. Oh, we're late for the news. Let me go ahead and, can you Facebook?
I got you.
Oh, it is. Okay, that's good to know. This is Chicago's Very Own. More with our band in studio. Mina Cerno, they're playing on July 9th at the Metro, and we'll catch up with them more in just a moment. Do I have a break at all before the news, or am I going straight to the news? It's Music Monday in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Playing live right now is Mina Cerno with their song, Johnny Cash.
Another shot of whiskey before you crawl to kiss me, I hope you stay awake this time. Your thoughts are listless, pointless to count on wishes of joy. Someone else's crimes in those three words. Okay, yeah, sure. Empties me and deadens my senses. Instead, you doubt solid ground. Coping through the paradox we're left with, hardwired to wander, your fears pull you under your home. Suppose this place you'll find immune to self-worth. When something else could be on earth, get in line. In those three words, okay, yeah, sure. Empties me and deadens my senses. Instead, you doubt solid ground. Coping through the paradox we're left with. Woo! Broadcast your blessings. Open doors, leave these guessing, I hope you stay awake this time.
Yeah. Are you done? Was that the end of the song? I've done that before where I've cut somebody off before the end of their song. Come on, sit down, Maggie. And Jay and Brian and Pete and Joe. See, look
at you. You got it.
I know. That's Mean Us or No, and they're playing on July 9th. I'm still Facebook Live, and they're just looking at my my desk.
Great,
right
they should.
Yeah. I'm so happy to have you guys in the studio. I know that it's a holiday. And you guys, did you come down through all the traffic, too? Was there?
It wasn't bad.
Okay, good.
Did you guys have problems?
No, it wasn't too bad. Kind of scary with the fireworks, but...
Yeah. A lot of people. Are we both Facebook Living this?
It's
a live off.
Sort of very strange competing Facebook Living.
I have a feeling you'll have more views than...
It's a little bit late. By the way, some people say, I hope you had a great day. Someone wanted to know if it was Sweet Child of Mine because they couldn't. It's just harder with all the music. They weren't sure. But that was actually Johnny Cash for those of you playing along at home.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash. Like casual. Yes. Hi, Jen Kramer. She's actually the director of special events and entertainment at Navy Pier. So she just joined us.
Ooh, hey.
On Facebook Live. So we left off with, we were talking to Joe. We have Pete.
I'm Brian.
That's what I said. I've heard it both ways. So that must be Pete. You must be Brian. So, Brian, where are you from originally?
I'm from Oak Park.
Okay. See how he was supposed to so specific about that? Oak Park.
Well, I learned
like,
from
not
Joe's
even...
mistake.
just kind of focusing on one place. And what got you into music? Was there anything in particular? Just enjoying it?
Yeah, just...
I
had a friend who played guitar and it looked like fun. Right. So got a guitar and tried it out.
And how did your parents react to that?
Oh, they like it.
Cool.
Yeah. Something to do other than video games.
Yeah. Better than video games.
Yeah.
That's absolutely true. What was what was some of the music that inspired you? What was the first
things? I was pretty into like Smashing Pumpkins and Radiohead, like that kind of.
All right. But are you a writer as well?
Like music, not words.
Whatever it is. Yes. So a lot more music. Kind of is what inspires you.
Yeah.
That's great. And and Pete?
Yep.
Yes, come on closer to your microphone. Where are you from originally?
Oak Park. So Brian and I grew up in Oak Park and went to grade school, junior high school together. So that's how...
Did you guys play music together in grade school at all? Or junior high?
No, maybe high school.
Yeah, I didn't really start until high school, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then
we have some tapes.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Are they the kind of blackmail tapes?
They're
not good.
I mean,
as far
good.
As embarrassing each other good. With music.
It was fun, though. We always had a lot of fun with it. Hopefully, we're a lot better than we were when we were in high school. So.
And what did you start out on?
I started playing piano when I was a kid. Okay. And I guess I have a little more control over what I was playing. And so... really enjoyed it and then just kept playing through college and after college have been in bands and I'm very happy to play with all these guys.
Well, sure, they're in the room. You got to say that.
Nah, they're good people.
They're all right
so
here.
They're a lot of fun.
And Jay, you're on the drums. Come on close to that microphone if you don't mind.
Just
shove Maggie out of the way.
Yeah, we don't need her anymore.
It is a weird setup. I know that you're across the room from everybody.
No,
but
I get
you guys...
to see them, which is nice.
Yes.
It's better than just the backside all the time.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Some people.
How often do you get to see your drummer? That's a great point. Where are you from originally?
I'm from a little podunk town down near Springfield. It's called Sherman. Really, really
Sherman. Okay.
Tiny spit of a town.
I'm familiar with like Mason City and Petersburg and Lincoln.
It's pretty close to Petersburg. Mm-hmm. It's maybe like a 25-minute drive
okay.
from Petersburg.
So you get a lot of... is there anything that draws people to Sherman? Like, is
leaving.
There... Leaving? that's drawing them away from... Not like a pit stop in Sherman?
If you could refer to Springfield as being worthy of having suburbs, like on the south side, there's a little town called Chatham, and on the north side, Sherman is kind of where some of the doctors and lawyers go. There's a nice golf course. And
the nice golf course.
There's the nice golf course, yeah.
Got to go to Sherman for the nice golf course.
Absolutely.
And when did you move to Chicago?
About 5 years ago.
And was there an adjustment at all, or... Were you just glad to leave?
Yes, yes and no. I mean, I did enjoy the small town. I'm a lazy putz, and I love the slow pace. Maggie was talking about the pace of different things. Mm-hmm. And I'm just I prefer to be kind of a mellow, you know, actually I can walk outside and have a campfire and not worry about
sure.
like some city ordinance finding me $10,000 or whatever.
No, they won't. You know, you do it on the 4th of July.
There you go.
You
exactly.
can light, you can light anything on fire on the 4th of July. We don't mind.
I'll go a little nuts on the 4th.
Yeah. Set it on fire,
on,
blow it up, nobody
on to
cares.
It for the rest of the year. Yeah. No, it's good. I moved up to Chicago because of this is where the music's at, and I yeah. went to school close by Valparaiso, Indiana.
Sure. Very cool. So, and so the drums, first instrument?
First instrument. My father was a drummer, so he always had a huge Neil Peart kind of set down in the basement, which I got to mess around with. A lot of other drummers say, oh, I did Pots and Pans. I'm like, no.
The real deal.
No, I'm going in the deep end. I'm going to play it poorly, mind you. But
what kind of music did he play?
I mean, he played in the worship band in our church, but... you know, he had very
They had a drummer in the church band?
Oh, yeah.
Look at a great
We're
church band.
We're progressive down Olden Shore.
Yeah. What?
Absolutely. So great.
Esmeralda, did you ever have a drummer in your church band?
No.
Wait. Some Mexican churches, I think, have drums.
Oh, yeah. They might have some drums. You're right about that. I can't remember ever having drums. Mm-mm.
But, yeah, for the most part, no.
No.
Yeah, pretty happening.
Got to go to Sherman for the drummer in the
Absolutely.
Band. For your church.
Yeah, you can drum and golf. And there you go.
These are things that Sherman's going to be very glad you put on their tourism
absolutely,
bulletin.
Absolutely.
It's working out very well. We are hanging out with Mean Us or No, and they are playing on July 9th at the Metro to celebrate the release of In No Place. Coming up after this break, we're going to hear In No Place.
I was at fault. When I was lost, I thought I was falling in love, but you knew I'd be tossing in the sheets without any problem dreaming, you called on me when you were lonely, and I won't lie, I was in no place. Without saying goodbye, oh, that would be I, not being too shy, 'cause it felt like when, oh, you were the chosen. Could not make late, no, you called on me when you were lonely, and I won't lie, I was in no place. I told you I wouldn't lie straight to your face. I had love that could not be replaced. centerfold.
Yeah. That was Minus or No. They're playing on July 9th at the Metro, celebrating the release of that song, the title of their album, In No Place. And Maggie, how you doing? You guys have been very cool tonight. I know it's sort of sort of laced together very loosely, and we appreciate that.
Oh, no problem.
And again, how do you prepare for celebrating the release of your new CD? The Metro is a great place to play.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited, stoked, and terrified.
Why are you terrified?
Well, it's just an iconic space. Mm-hmm. It's when I found out we were going to play that show, I went to go see a show that night there, mm-hmm. and I saw little green cars. They're from Ireland, and I was just like taken in by like, it's so large, like right. you can't reach the top, you know. So it's like you just have to use the space as much as you can. So I don't know. I'll probably panic.
You'll have a great night. Well, the thing is, any performer, when you're on a stage, I mean, the important thing is, no matter, you know, when you mention iconic, you've been booked for a gig for a reason.
Yeah, yeah.
And that stage is yours.
Yeah, we're really excited.
It's very cool.
It's a place we wanted to play.
Does she often panic? Because she mentioned that.
I'm too busy panicking myself.
Yeah. You panic?
Really, we're the panickers, man.
What's your panic like? Do you pace?
I just don't want anyone to talk to me.
Okay.
I don't want to talk to anyone.
How about now? Can I talk to you now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I know the feeling. Do you, my husband calls it going into a zone where I no longer am holding on to anything anyone's saying. It's all like just background noise. Mm-hmm. He can tell when I'm just not hearing a single thing he's saying.
I don't know if they can tell. Can you tell?
Your eyes tell, yeah, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah. Just thinking about, what are you thinking about? Are you thinking about how you want it to go, what it's going to feel like, or what are you locked into? I don't want to break it down. If I'm stirring up some sort of anxiety that you need to work out with somebody else, I don't want to trigger anything. No, I'm not trained.
I don't know. I just hope I don't completely blank, which happened
like
once.
It's a string thing. You guys worry about your strings breaking. And
I'm not worried about that because it's more just like, and it happened to me once where I just did not remember what I was supposed to do. But it happened, and I think it's good.
And that's the worst thing, right?
Right, and it mm-hmm. happened. And
what happened when it happened?
Joe just started playing something. Yeah,
you just move on. Well, because you know, right? You know the audience doesn't know what you intended to do.
Exactly.
So the freak out is yours. And like they're like, oh, you know, I can't believe they did. They have no idea.
Right.
Yeah, they have no
exactly.
clue.
That's hard. And that's hard to remember, though, because you have such a
Well, it's like rationally it's not a big deal, but then you can't help your...
Intellectually, yeah.
You can't help the way
Well, artistically, it freaks you out.
Yeah.
What about you, Brian? Pete.
I need name tags on these guys.
We got you for next time.
Oh, my God. Hold on a second. Brian. I'm going to give it B, P, J, Joe. I know those two. J. All right. Brian, do you have any? No. What did I just do? No, now you're just messing with me.
No,
I'm not that tired.
You called him Brian.
Oh, I'm so tired. Pete. What? What do you have something that triggers like anxiety for you, or do you just kind of you just chill? Is he chill?
Pete doesn't really worry about this stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, shows are pretty fun. I mean, I think we do a pretty good job of preparing. So mm-hmm. like, as long as I'm prepared and I've practiced, then like, I usually feel pretty good about what's going to happen.
See, I think that's the key. If you feel like you've done all the preparation, maybe do you feel like you've prepared as much as you possibly could? Because I often go into a performance thinking, I could have done some more. There was something else I could have done.
I think we prepare pretty thoroughly.
We're going to try to play two songs that we've never played before. Mm-hmm. That's our...
That's gonna freak out Pete over here then.
No.
Joe, do you have anything that worries you before a show?
Or,
no.
No? I'm kind of like the one that just goes. Yeah.
What now?
He feels
What's
like
next?
Home on stage.
Yeah, it's nice up there. It's nice and warm and fuzzy and just feels good.
How about you, Jay? See, because drums, is there something about being able to get it all out there that way? Like, there's something aggressive about it? Or
I mean, yes and no. It depends on what you're playing. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're playing some really, really mellow, you know, jazz or something like that, obviously you're not going to wig out and rock out. But, I mean, I get to take out a little aggression and have a lot of fun with these guys as well.
Are you ever tempted to just sort of just hammer the drums when it's a really, it's like a slow?
Oh, constantly.
That's why you play
work,
the drums.
At home, taking a shower. Yeah, all the time. I want to hit something.
Are you always just drumming?
Yes.
Do you guys, I've never asked this question. Do you guys dream in music? Does anybody dream in music?
Dream in music.
Or does music play a role in your dreams? Interesting.
Yeah, actually, I can't.
Pete looks like he thinks.
I mean, there have been times where I've woken up and put something on a voice memo, and then I wake up and it's terrible. So I would say no. I'm much more analytical,
I think it's better when I think of it. And, you know.
Yeah.
I've never asked that before about musicians, if they have any music elements in their dreams.
I mean, stage fright for sure.
Right. Yeah, elements of like forgetting something or being in at a space at the right time.
I mean, I feel like teeth falling out is a terrible...
It's a loss of power. I feel like you're out of control.
Right, but like that, you know, because it's all about aesthetics too. Mm-hmm. You got to kind of look good. So
right.
And I wake up, I'm like, oh my God.
Where are my teeth?
My teeth fell out.
I can't sing tonight.
They didn't.
They did not, no.
Spoiler.
No. I think most people, when they wake up dreaming that their teeth fell out, generally they haven't.
Right.
Yes. That's probably safe to say. Again, Mean Us or No will be playing at the Metro on July 9th. That's coming up on Saturday. And the tickets are $12 in advance. They're $15 at the door. You can follow them on Twitter at Mean Us or No. It's MENACRNO. Also, their Facebook page is the same. And get more details about their album In No Place, which is available on all the regular spots, Spotify and SoundCloud.
iTunes.
All those things.
All of it.
And also available for purchase at your event, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah.
All right, then. So everyone should be there. Listening pretty late. You guys are fine. The band Mean Us or No is packing up their stuff. They got a lot of equipment, and they are so much fun and very patient with us. It's Monday night during a holiday, and we're all just keeping the wheels on the track. I'm sure there's a lot of important news, and we'll hear about it later. How you doing, Esmeralda?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I'm wearing ridiculously long eyelashes.
They're pretty.
Thank you. They're very sparkly. They're very festive. 4th of July eyelashes. I've decided eyelashes are like the one silly little thing I can do when I do something festive.
Is it your Christmas sweater?
It is my Christmas sweater. I wore rainbow eyelashes for the Pride Parade, and I wore 4th of July. What's next?
Labor Day.
Esmeralda, let's talk for a minute.
Sure.
I know we were before, but I am trying to figure out what else to hijack the fan van for, and I can't think of anything that's coming up except for the Mexican Independence Day parade.
Yeah,
I think I should do that.
That's September, though.
I know.
It's kind of a day. It's a bit a ways. Labor Day is in September as well.
Is there a parade for Labor Day?
Probably. Somewhere.
I don't know if there is one.
There's got to be.
You would think.
There was a million parades today.
Well, it's 4th of July.
For every city, there's got to be some Labor Day.
I was getting requests today. Please come to Palatine next year.
Oh, that's nice.
That was very nice. Let us know. Next year, we'll take requests, and I'll see what lines up. I have to do Evanston, because that's where I end up with the family for barbecuing.
Are you do Columbus Day?
Oh, Columbus Day, I guess we could do.
I don't know if there's small ones. I know there's the big one downtown, right?
Right.
But I don't know if there's any regional, like little city, small town festival.
Oh,
the Bud Billiken Parade.
Let's do the Bud Billiken Parade.
We can do that.
We can also do St. Patrick's Day, obviously not until March, but Bud Billiken, I think, is before school starts again.
Right. Yes. That's the sign that school is imminent.
It means time is up, everybody.
Pretty much. Mm-hmm. Fun is over. Time to learn.
Fun is over. Last week I called attention to a letter I received. It was actually a letter I had originally thrown away and was encouraged by somebody in the room with me to do something with it. And, you know, it may not have had the results that some people would have liked. But the thing is that when you express yourself, I think that at some point you have to then stand behind or expect the backlash that's going to come. And do you ever see something on Facebook that's so vile and so racist that you have to screenshot it and go, it just because you know that that person might double think, they might go back and you realize that maybe I crossed the line and they'll erase it.
Oh, I've never thought to do that.
Oh, I do.
I usually just comment. I've never thought to screenshot it.
Yeah, no, I screenshot those. I screenshot those, and then when someone like denies or I didn't mean, I'm like, well, you mean this? I just repost it for them, just to remind. Well, now there is a website called Hello Bigot.
Oh,
yes. And there are members of the Hello Racist Facebook community. So Hello Bigot will shine a light on the racists among us, allowing followers to spread the word via social media of the not so secret lives of folks who can't seem to help themselves when it comes to posting hateful memes and horrific comments. And this is what, see, for me, if I see too many things that are repetitive, you know, some people will cloak things and I'm like, maybe they didn't mean it that way. But when it's blatant, like there was one that I screenshot and I have it somewhere where it was after the Laquan McDonald videos were released. And some of the sentiments that were expressed were just horrifying. There was one. Well, this is when you it was there were a lot of things like this is what happens when you let blacks have too many rights. It literally said that. So I screenshot that and the guy took it down and he wrote something else. And I'm like, you mean when you said this? And so I
nice.
Just,
yeah, I like that. Now, are these just public? Not public, but I mean mm-hmm. from some sort of, you know how Facebook has, like us, how WGN has a page, and if we
like
post
a like
something.
Page. Right.
Right. Was it like that or was it someone you know?
Oh, it was somebody like, because I have 5,000 people on right. my Facebook page. And a lot of the people I have on my Facebook page, when I first started, I just kind of was like just grabbing, you know, trying to get followers and just friends of friends. And a lot of them came from just other radio hosts or stand-up comics. And then people would send me requests and I would say yes to a lot of people I didn't actually know. So I will go through and sort of filter, because I do now have a Patty V Show page. Page where people can follow stuff on the show, and I try to keep my Patty Vasquez page something where I might save things that are, because it's my own personal page, you know, I stand behind them, but they might not be things that you know are necessarily for, you know, for everyone. They it may not be something that they appreciate, and that's fine. You can then you unfriend me, right? Or I unfriend you, and that's kind of the whole concept of being in a community, to say, hey, it's not my thing. I'm gonna go someplace and hang out with other people,
right?
Yeah. So here's an example. Danny Clayton of Texas, who posted an old black and white photo of legal Italian immigrant children holding American flags with the comment, that's because they are white and have common sense and love being American citizen, not like the other words that he's saying. You know what's funny about this what was changed to like asterisks and what words we couldn't say is that wetbacks is not one of the words that we have to alter with like ampersands and hashtags. You know what I mean? Like the other words are. But he was saying,
oh, like to replace letters?
Yeah, to replace letters.
Right. Yeah,
it was,
no.
It was like
no.
this word, and wetbacks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that no. one's still not. No, that one's fine.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I've never understood that one. But basically the others that we have in this country now. And the founder of Hello Bigot, her name is Nancy Laws, who she wants to remain anonymous, so that's a made-up name. They feel the need to expose a racist. I don't know if I need to expose. Racists do a pretty good job of exposing themselves. This just seems like, you know, encouraging people to come out with pitchforks, right? And
yeah,
torches.
It's a little of that, mm-hmm. but then it is a little satisfying.
That was why I responded to my letter last week.
Mm. It is, yeah. No, it's a bit satisfying to, you know, to be like, hey, all these people think the opposite of what you think, and they think what you just said is just awful.
Well, I mean, but then the intention is to just draw attention to how awful they are, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
not
because
to,
it won't get to them.
It won't change. Well, it won't change them.
Right. It'll just make them angrier. But still.
Yes.
But still, it is very satisfying.
Do you know what show I miss? I miss the show Highway to Heaven with Michael Landon. He played an angel who would go and basically like change the hardened hearts of people or people who are on a bad path. We needed Michael Landon to come in and see the error of people's ways, you know, when they're just, whether it's being bigoted or misogynist or, are you looking up Highway to Heaven? Not Highway to Heaven. What is it? What was the name of the Michael Landon show where he was an angel? Something.
Was it about angels?
It was Highway to Heaven? Touched by an Angel was one.
Oh, no, that's not him.
No, Touched by an Angel was the
Della Reese.
Yes.
Yeah, Highway to Heaven.
Highway to Heaven. I really enjoyed it.
He had some hair.
He had all the hair. He had all the hair. Yeah, we need someone like that to come around and just show people their other ways. Just, you know, but nope, people are locked in. And it's something that has spread, I think. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of rage. And there are people who are like, I'm frustrated and I should be able to say these things. Yes. And then apparently there's a website now that will repeat that you said that. Just put it out there in perpetuity. So I would say, I don't know, people who think horrible. But the thing is, I say people who think horrible things, I wish that you would see things differently. But they don't see what they're saying as being horrible. They see it as just sort of being a matter of fact to them, right?
Right. It's it's not PC.
Yeah, no one wants to be political. They don't want to be, and they don't see it as being unkind, because if it's important to them, then it's not an unkindness.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, you are completely correct.
Yeah, I don't. I think that if you put out there that this person is being racist, again, this is a website called Hello Racist. If you put that stuff out there, I think that you put those people in danger. You know, isn't there a better way to have a, I guess you don't feel like there's a way to have a conversation with folks who are saying vile things.
Right. I don't think there is. I mean, it really, I think it may depend on how awful the statement is.
Right.
Because some people get into the very dangerous, violent side of the comments. And then it's like, so we should tell someone about this.
If someone's going to be in danger, you should definitely alert people. I think so. But anyway, if you want to be a part of the community, I guess you can go to the Hello Bigot website and, I guess point out bigots to the rest of the people on the internet, on social media. More after this on 720 WGN.
Do you know a superstar kid doing great things? Nominate them for the Steve Cochran Kid of the Week, and they'll qualify for a $5,000 cash prize, courtesy of Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake and Raymond Chevrolet in Antioch. Details at WGNradio.com/contests.
I've always thought I had a bit of an edge, and now I can safely say I have an edge.
Well, congratulations, Tom. I'm not sure what that means.
See the edge. A whole new showroom exclusively for our top designer kitchen and bath concepts.
Wow, glamorous. But why the edge?
It's our way of showing off builder supply outlets, creme de la creme in kitchens and baths. A high-end look without the high-end price.
Gorgeous cabinets.
5 lines. And look, over there, over 100 granite and quartz countertop choices. Plus, we have top designers with state-of-the-art design stations to help make your dream kitchen come true right in front of your eyes.
You've got to experience the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom at Builders Supply Outlet.
We're just 5 miles east of the Oak Brook Shopping Mall on Cermak Road at 25th Avenue in Broadview.
Or visit BuilderSupplyOutlet.com.
Quality and savings are what you get at Builders Supply Outlet.
Be sure to check the CB app or hit up Facebook and tell Chicago's Best TV where you like to eat. Watch Chicago's Best Sundays at 10 p.m. on WGN-TV. Your pick may be Chicago's Best. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And we're almost getting towards the end of our show. We've got a guest coming up in just a little bit to talk about dating, Susie Parkus, who will help explain how to spot heartbreak. Which I know is really like,
oh boy.
I know. But you don't have any of the warning signals.
Yay.
You're at the point where you would recognize them, don't you think?
I hope so.
All right.
Woo! Okay. Let's hope not. This will be a checklist for the pause. Like, right, none of those are in my relationship. Perfect.
Well, I think and I was mentioning this earlier, and this is for men or for women, but she has a piece about, there's a piece in here about, well, you know, wouldn't it be great to look into the future to see whether a man is going to break your heart? But I think that obviously goes both ways. There are things that women do. You have to,
of course.
And not with like an eagle eye, but just, you know, just be aware is all.
I don't know if I'd want that.
To be aware of what the warnings are?
Like to be told, yeah, no, it's not going to work out with this one. Can you just, it would be that whole thing of like, you don't want to know how you die.
Well, you have to decide what's you know, what is not forgivable but livable, like, you know, sort of acceptable behavior between the both of you. I'm getting to the point now where someone points something out, if they can be kind about it, I'm like, oh, okay, didn't think of it that way, right? I can adjust, I can adapt. But, you know, when you're younger and you're relationship, like, everything is this or that, I think that you have to sort of leave a little room for a little wiggle, just a little bit of wiggle. But again, one more time, I do want to mention this. I know our good friend Michelle Home, who has been on the show before, she she's a first responder, and she was on our show as a firearms expert to talk about, you know, what it meant to be a responsible gun owner. And she was telling me that she does not like either one of the candidates, and she really is she got a bumper sticker that says she votes Meteor. She's choosing a Meteor. And then a lot of people are going in that direction. They'd rather have a meteor hit the planet than have to vote for either Trump or Hillary Clinton.
Right. But doesn't that skew things or something?
I don't know what that'll I think it's 9% of the population's vote. No, wait a minute. That can't be what it was. It's some Americans. They'll make a choice, right? They'll show up to the polls and vote. No.
But is it a thing of, like, if you don't vote a certain way, it'll go to Trump?
Well, that's what a lot of people in England are saying, is that even people who did vote to leave England, they're saying that they didn't know that that was actually going to happen, and they wouldn't have voted that way. They were voting,
I didn't know this actually would happen for reals.
Okay, you know when people say it's a protest vote? Like, that was basically what a lot of them said. Like, I just wanted people to know I'm tired of things a certain way, but I didn't know it was going to be for real. I didn't know
That's not how that works.
No, your vote counts.
Yeah, no, I was told by a friend of mine that someone that they know is a Bernie or bust person and will not be voting because of that. And it's like, you sound like a spoiled brat, that you're just crossing your arms and going, no.
Right.
I'm not going to do anything.
Especially.
Like, really?
Yeah. Especially since bust could actually mean bust.
Exactly. Yeah. So that angers me when people are like, I'm going to do silly votes. And it's like, you know, you're kind of screwing things up there.
Well, unless they'd rather have Donald Trump, they may very well want to have Donald Trump.
Well, then maybe they should just vote for Donald Trump.
Well, there you go. That's a good point.
Suck it up, guys. You're going to do that.
I wonder if there'll be any last minute drama at the convention. You know, Ro Khan is going to be at both the Democrat and the Republican conventions.
Oh, I mean, who doesn't like good drama?
I know. I would imagine there's going to be some drama. I wonder if this is going to happen there, Shantay, with this new patent that Apple has. Do you see this, Esmeralda, where they have a patent that could shut down your phone's cameras at movie theaters and concerts? They can jam it. So your camera? That seems annoying.
And how do you, is it the building?
Yeah.
You're in and it'll just.
Yeah. It would remotely disable the cameras on any phone, because the technology emits infrared rays with encoded data that includes commands to temporarily shut down the cameras, preventing both photo and video functions. So that you can't, if you're at a movie or if you're at a concert, you can no longer record the performance. I was doing a show one time, Esmeralda. And it was a retirement party for the principal of Norwood Park School. It was at a country club. And I go up there, and it was nice, you know, nice group, and everyone's at banquet tables. And this guy's just holding up an iPad, like, filming the whole thing.
Oh, I've seen those. Those crack me up.
I was like, dude, you gotta, I can't do this. You gotta put that down. He's like, no, it's for my friends. I'm right here. I'm doing this for this group, not for your friends. That's too bad. Too bad on them.
Also, that's a bit of a dad move, using the iPad as a camera.
Oh my God. And it's happened to me a couple times where I just stop and I'm like, you're kidding, right? I mean, stand-up comedy is a vulnerable art form to begin with. And now I'm thinking about this person videotaping me the whole time.
No, what if he went to the back of the room and he was just standing back there?
That's creepy, too. I used to perform with the Bob and Tom Comedy All-Stars.
Mm-hmm.
They have Bob and Tom have a radio show and that is syndicated in over 145 markets. So we would go to these great big theaters all over the country. And it was right when someone videotaped me in, I want to say, somewhere in Indiana. And that video is still up. I'm not really crazy about it. I've been too lazy to ask them to take it down. But it's actually affected work, because it's from earlier in my career. It's a little more, you know, a little more edgy than, and I do all shows. I'm capable of doing a church show. And yes, I have. And I've done kids shows, and I've done third show Saturday when people are hammered and the only thing they pay attention to are naughty words. I have a wide range. But that clip, because it was more edgy, people were like, well, we're not going to hire her. And I just have been too lazy to take it down. And also, it's a part of my career. I kind of like having that to look back at and go, oh, look, I weighed 130 pounds.
Yeah, that's what, how thin we look.
That's really what it came down to. But I don't know. I don't know if I'd want, I kind of like getting a photo. I was at Paul Simon's concert a couple of weeks ago, and I took a couple of shots of the stage. I kind of like have, I mean, they're not great shots. I'm not.
Right. But then you also, you took pictures of right. just the, being there.
Yeah.
So that, there the goes that.
Right. People can't take selfies, right? Like Guns N' Roses, tons of photos from Soldier Field. Imagine not being able to
right.
do that.
And half of them weren't even on the stage. It's just people being there, you know, doing the selfie thing. And yeah, that would totally ruin things, I think.
You know what you'd have to do? Use a real camera.
Yeah, or charcoal drawing.
Is this the camera industry trying to come back? Hey, could you guys disable the cameras in your phones? Like a concert? Because some people will buy cameras.
That's... Maybe the Polaroid will come back.
Oh. You know there's a Polaroid camera in the back of the WGN fan van?
Does it have Polaroids?
I haven't pulled it. It's still in a box. So I don't know how many years it's been taken out for events and then put back in the box. It's in its original box in the back of the WGN
fan.
That's
neat.
It is kind of, and I keep forgetting to take it out because I'm always in a hurry getting to the next thing with the fan van. So I've never taken it out to see if it still works. And is there still film available for that?
Ooh. You probably can find stuff on eBay and like certain camera shops. But yeah, I believe they stopped making Polaroid film.
Yeah, I would think. Yeah, it's going to be tough. Yeah, I have got to, next time I take the van out, which is what do we decide on? Columbus Day Parade?
Columbus Day. If you want, dad's birthday is the 20th of this month.
Interesting.
We'll have a parade for him.
We should do that. Can we just have people request the WGN fan van to arrive at their house? We'll go out for like some Portillo's.
You're just going down the street.
Go to like Lou Malnati's. I can only take one person, by the way, because there are no seats. The whole back of the van is just equipment.
That's right.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Let's do that. Let's just do some fun stuff with the fan van. Now that I know how to drive it, because I have no peripheral vision or backup abilities on that thing. You got to have somebody out there. Like, I had to get out of the, it was parked in a structure down the street. I had to get out and ask traffic to stop so I could back out and not hurt anybody.
You should also get a vest and those light things they have at the airport.
Yeah,
they'd be perfect. Does it make a beeping noise when it backs up?
No.
Really?
Interesting you should ask me that because my car makes, I have a 2010 Prius I just bought. It makes a beeping noise inside the car when I'm in reverse.
Oh, I thought most those big vans, they did that beeping noise outside for people to know that it's backing up.
It needs everything. It needs flashing lights. It needs its own traffic control person.
You should get it one of those. Have you seen those people? They just put like a cone at the end of a stick or something just so that people know that there's the clearance that they need.
That's the thing. Because
I should just do that.
The WGN fan van is wrapped, obviously, with the logo of the station, and it says Wildcats on the back and all of our information. And then and there's like a steel cage that is right behind the driver and passes, like a wall of metal. So I can't see nothing back there. We have, here we go. I was talking about the WGN fan van having a Polaroid camera in the back, and Jeremy says he can help me out with this. Jeremy, what can I do?
Oh, well, you can actually get it anywhere.
I can.
I know they had it at Walgreens at one point, at any of the photo places, like photo shops and everything around the city.
See, there we go, Esmeralda.
Oh, it's made a comeback.
Yeah, we should go down to the fan van and get that done.
Yeah, and then, so you can take all the pictures you want of concerts.
Exactly. I can take all the, that's how we get around this little Apple patent, don't you think, Jeremy?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There you go.
You can make a flip book.
Jeremy, I'd love to do a flip book. Jeremy, do you take photos at concerts?
Oh, yeah. I actually, not really. I definitely enjoy the music more than I do take photos.
So it wouldn't bother you if they had technology to turn the camera off on your phone?
No, not at all.
There you go. See? The Polaroids are for me and you, Esmeralda. We still want photos of the event.
It is a little annoying when people do that because they're sticking it right up in the air. And
I try
like,
to be
move
quick.
Move it.
Yeah. You get 20 seconds to stick your arm in the air and then get back to enjoying the music.
See, well, but for the most part, people film.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Jeremy?
Oh, sorry. Well, why would you want to take pictures of the place where music is being played? You want to just sit and enjoy the live music.
I did. I went and saw Indigo Girls. I also took a couple photos of them because I haven't seen them in a long time, just for my memories. You're right. I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm with you, Jeremy. No more pictures at concerts. Oh. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And we're heading into the last half hour of our show. And I've been... you know what I'm trying not to be nervous about? Our mosquito bites this summer.
Oh.
I know. Like gross. West Nile disease, we always thought of, like, we kind of hear, oh, first case of West Nile disease, and you worry about that in the back of your mind, and then it just kind of goes away, you know? I mean, you just don't worry about it as much because it seems to be so far and few between. You know that it could have devastating effects. But this year, the Zika virus is making people panicked, and they're, you know, they are letting people know that there is a possibility, Esmeralda, in the state of Illinois, that in Illinois there are 23 confirmed Zika cases, some of which are in Chicago. I didn't know that. It seems like whenever there's West Nile disease, we find out right away, don't we?
Right. I didn't know that there was that many Zika virus cases. Mm-hmm. Like, they got bit here?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if they got bit here. So there are different – there. No cases of transmission by mosquitoes have been reported in the continental USA.
Okay, good.
The two international airports, the potential of Zika-carrying mosquito surviving in the area and unknown about the virus has a city getting ready. So whether or not they are people who have come from other areas, it doesn't say in this report then how was it transmitted. The Zika virus can be transmitted through blood transfusion and obviously through mosquito bites. But they say that the risk is low in Chicago because the mosquito spreads its bites between humans and animals. But it can also be passed through saliva.
Oh, yeah. So don't make out with those mosquitoes?
No making out with mosquitoes.
I've been fairly lucky. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, in the city, don't really get bug bites.
You don't get bitten a lot?
Not really. But when I do, it's nasty.
Oh, I know. And you know what the thing is? I can't stop scratching.
Yep.
I just keep going at it. Like, it wouldn't last as long if I would just leave it alone.
Right, but you can't. No. I actually have some stuff that I got 20 million years ago when I was working with Johnny B. He had on a guy who had invented this stuff that was for bug bites and poison ivy. And it was kind of nice because it has like chestnuts, like apricots or walnut
right.
stuff
like
in
oil
it.
In it?
No, like the crunchy bits.
Oh,
so
then weird.
When you put it on, you're scratching and healing simultaneously. Because you're supposed to rub
so you're
it in
soothing,
for a bit.
You're itching the scratch.
Yeah. But
you're
also...
I'm going to, speaking of a scratch, I'm going to transition. Susie, I swear that's a transition. Scratching an itch, which is dating. How's that for transition?
Very good.
We have on the line with us dating coach Susie Parkus, and I thank you so much. I know that it's a weird time transition, so thank you for your patience as we make the smooth move over to talking to you about dating. What time is it? I know people do this all the time when they talk to you. I'm trying to do the math in my head. Is it like 8:40? For you?
Oh no, it's 20 to 8 in the morning.
20 to 8 in the morning. Okay, so I was close.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what
yeah,
you do.
Really, you were just an hour later.
I was close. What? Tell us a little bit about the idea that you can help someone spot heartbreak.
The idea behind it.
Yeah, I mean, because Esmeralda and I were talking about that. Like, if you could tell, if you were being alert and paying attention to the warning signs, would you want to? Is kind of part of it too. What's the idea behind being, I guess, present in a relationship?
Okay, well, coming back to your first point, you know, there are patterns that one can spot, basically. So there are certain types of people in relationships who deploy certain characteristics. So once you're familiar with those characteristics, and obviously there isn't a one-size-fits-all, you can start thinking, you know, I know that characteristic is related to someone who, you know, maybe would cheat, is non-committal or what have you. So that's what it's about. No one is Mystic Meg, and I'm certainly not myself, but there are these characteristics that you can notice.
And so some of the characteristics, because like I'm guessing that we each have the things that are red flags for everybody. Are there are there general red flags that everyone should pay attention to?
Yes, of course there are. Would you like me to go through some?
Yes, please. Let me know. What are some of the red flags that you should know about and you know, protect yourself in a relationship?
Okay, so if you're someone who's looking to meet someone for a serious relationship and he or she says, I'm not looking for a relationship, what happens is that person has actually said to you, you know, I'm not on the same page as you. So therefore, it's up to you to say, that's fine. You know, I'm happy to do something casual, or I'm not into casual, thanks, all the same. But what often happens is we go, they're not looking for a relationship, but I like them and I might be the one to change their mind. So what happens is a person entering into a relationship, you haven't really listened. And then when it goes wrong, you blame the other person. So it's kind of, that's where both of you are at fault. You know, one's speaking and you're not listening and you're trying to turn the situation around to your advantage. Does that make sense?
It does. Well, and this is that sounds a lot about like taking responsibility too when you're in a relationship.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So actually, you know, before I move on to the other point, the biggest point to tell you is that listening is so important when you meet somebody. You know, even if someone is being dishonest with their intentions, if you really, really listen to the conversation they're having with you and the things they're saying and the way they're phrasing it, that gives so much away about their intentions and they don't realize.
Right.
So just listening actually is really, really important. If someone's blowing hot and cold with you, it's a sure sign that they're not really that into you. And a myriad of things could be going on. There's potentially a relationship going on and you're some fun on the side. They're speaking to lots of other people and therefore you're not a priority. Or, you know, it might be that they're just so committed and focused to their work and therefore you're not a priority. But either way, if they're blowing hot and cold and, you know, this relationship or the nature of the growth of this relationship isn't getting warmer and warmer and more exciting, you kind of need to ask yourself what's going on here, because otherwise you're just swinging like a pendulum and the other person is in the driving seat and it's not really fair. And that's when you start to sort of question yourself and go mad, thinking, what am I doing wrong here? You know, why are they hot and cold all the time? And the other thing is committing. So it kind of comes back to the hot and cold. When someone's not committing to making plans with you, so it's you go something like you might have had a date with somebody and you've had a good time and then you're kind of waiting for them to go, I had a really nice time, it'd be nice to see you again, or, you know, I'd love to see you again, when can I see you? And that's not forthcoming and you're waiting and waiting and waiting and they're like, see you again. And again, they're in the driving seat and they're just not driving that momentum forward for you. Then you also need to wonder how committed is this person to getting to know me, wanting to be in a relationship with me and, you know, just getting involved. Like, why aren't they kind of taking the next step? So that is a warning sign as well, because generally speaking, when someone's interested, they know that you're hot property and you're probably speaking to other people too, and they want to lock you down. And what that means is you want to lock out the competition and be like, you know, even during the date, they had a really, really nice time with you. I know it's premature, we haven't finished yet, but it'd be really, really lovely to see you again. Makes the other person feel like, oh, they, you know, they really like me. And it shows you that they're interested too. But if they're just, you know, being a bit nonchalant about it, you have to think, you know, they're hedging their bets here. What's going on? Why aren't they creating that momentum?
Well, when you mention hedging your bets, I have to imagine that the effect of social media has been profound on, you know, serial dating, or as you mentioned, you know, they're keeping their options open.
Oh, there's lots of it. You know, I'm on a lot of dating apps because I speak to apps and websites a lot, you know, for my business, and it's important for me to know what's going on. And it's surprising how many people I see across the website and the app. People are spreading themselves so thinly. And, I mean, that's a, you know, potentially another conversation. But if you as someone who's on the lookout for somebody and you see the same face across several apps, you're also going to be very, very cautious about that person and step very gingerly, because you don't know how many people they're speaking to across all the several apps because they've been hedging their bets. And, of course, social media makes it very incestuous as well, because there's lots of single groups on Facebook and there are people poking each other because they like the look of them. People are on the lookout nonstop. And I think the problem is people are struggling to focus on one person at a time, because you really can be a kid in a candy store now.
Exactly. I don't envy people who are trying to have a relationship now. And I'm sure every generation has some different thing that gives them the just sort of the whims. You know, they get a little bit I can't wrap my mind around. I've known women who will not just start a relationship with someone through social media, but then like track what they do on social media, like on Facebook, and make themselves upset. I mean, you're talking about, you know, warning signs and things like that. How often do we kind of create the drama that, you know, perhaps gets in the way of having a healthy relationship?
Oh, very often. People are frightened of being hurt. I think now more than ever, you know, it's, sadly, divorce is on the up and cheating is on the up and people are very curious these days. You know, I know a friend of mine, we were out late one day and a married woman was messaging him. And, you know, like 3 a.m, and she should have been in bed with her husband, but she was bored or whatever was going on, I don't know, and she was messaging him. And people are just very, very curious. And, you know, people do, I think, create problems for themselves because they're not remaining focused on what it is that they want or where it is that they're at. You know, if they're in a relationship, they're not remaining focused.
Yeah, that's got to be so many hard things involved in dating these days. And you mentioned, you know, listening. So that obviously it's an important component of communication. But, you know, if you feel like someone's running hot and cold, as you were talking about before, what's the best approach? I mean, ultimatums seem to obviously drive people away. Would you say that's correct?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it depends, you know, if you're asking me on behalf of the man or the woman as well, because I'm really into, you know, and holding your space as a woman or as a man. So generally it's a woman that gets frustrated with the guy playing hot and cold. Sorry to generalize, but that is, you know, the general consensus. And if a woman kind of, you know, digs her heels in and starts saying, hey, you know, I really enjoyed spending time with you the last however many weeks or months or whatever, and I just, you know, would like to know what's going on, you're trying to take control and now you're becoming an alpha female. You have to be really, really careful when you're trying to seek clarity from somebody, the way you go about it, because if it's done in a way where you want to regain control or find some level of control in a relationship, then actually you're starting to step into the male space.
Right.
And guys don't like that.
No, that so it's a
it's really hard.
Right. So they feel threatened by that sort of action.
Yeah, guys don't want to be locked down. They want to lock you down. So, you know, unless you're trying to create a dynamic where you're the alpha female and he's the beta male, then that's completely different. And some of those relationships do exist. However, the people that romanticize and watch TV and movies, they're looking for, you know, the soft feminine female and she wants her alpha male. So you have to engineer a situation rather than be direct with your guy and be like, what's going on here? Because you're trying to lock him down and he's not going to be happy with that. A guy doesn't want to contest with an alpha female. It will just turn him off. He'll start seeing you as a friend. It will take you out of that space where, you know, he's kind of looking at you as a partner now, because, you know, he's feeding that male energy within you, and that's not what attracts guys. It's what turns them off.
Well, and you mentioned sort of the romanticized version we have of relationships. Does that, you know, intensify the heartbreak when things don't work out, if your expectations don't meet the reality?
Oh, my gosh, 100%. Yeah. You know, somebody's, you know, watched a movie and I'm trying to think of a classic example. But, you know, someone's watched a movie and they go, that's the guy. I want a guy like that lead.
Right.
Then you're setting yourself up for failure, because the guy that you're meeting, you know, wherever you meet him, you can't ask him to be a carbon copy of something that you've seen in a movie. I mean, that's completely engineered. When it's real life, you're talking about feelings, you're talking about circumstances beyond your control, and you have to ride the rough with the smooth. So if you are one of these people that lives in fantasy land, that's absolutely fine. But you just need to manage your own expectations, as you said, and you need to put across in your conversation with someone when you're getting to know them, especially at the outset, what your values are, what you're looking for in a partner. And then it's up to the other person on the receiving end to say, well, I can meet those expectations, or I'm not that person, I'm not for you.
But that's got to be so hard for so many people who really get their hopes up in a certain situation. How can you suggest someone, you know, when the things implode, how does someone move past that heartbreak and, you know, continue with their finding someone, the next person?
Come and see me. I'm very well known for taking people from heartbreak to happiness. But, you know, if you haven't got a coach or you're not inclined to see somebody, then, you know, acknowledging is a huge part in moving forward. So acknowledging where maybe you weren't listening, where, you know, the guy maybe said to you he wasn't available and you thought he was, or, you know, like you said, you know, putting across onto somebody else the things that you want in a relationship and then making them wrong for not showing up in that way. So reflection and acknowledging is really, really important to reduce the heartbreak. Otherwise, you know, you end up just playing the scenario round and round and round in your head, and it's like a non-stop record, and it just takes you in a downward spiral.
Yeah, that's and I've seen people go through that, and they seem to have a really tough time trusting again. When in some ways they kind of set themselves up, not set themselves up, but there's a mismatch in what they wanted, what was possible, and where they are, and that's just kind of the thing that people have to struggle with, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, as dating coaches, my colleagues and I, this is what we do. We take people through a process now of, you know, saying, you know, what are your values? What are you looking for? What's realistic? Why do you want that characteristic in a person? You know, and I must tell you that the common thing when people are looking for a characteristic in someone outside of themselves is because they want that characteristic within themselves. So we take them through this whole psychological journey because that's where we're at these days, unfortunately. You know, I remember when I was dating, you know, in my teens and my early 20s, it was so easy. You just pick up a vibe from somebody and you enjoy being in their company, and things would either go somewhere or they wouldn't.
Right.
Now it's this whole psychological game, and, you know, I don't like to use the word game, but there is a lot of, you know, playing with the chessboard and saying, does this feel good for me? Why doesn't this feel good for me? Analyzing your dating journey and thinking, you know, okay, so it didn't work out with my last partner, but what was it about them that did?
Right.
And those are characteristics I'd like to find in somebody else. And you really need to think about this more than just, oh, you look really hot, you know, I'm going to try having a relationship with you. It's, you know, if you want lasting love, it's so much more than that.
That's great. I think that's all great to hear. And I think a lot of people would appreciate more information about the kind of work that you do. I know that, you know, do you do a lot of coaching online with meetyourmatch.club?
Yes, I do. Actually, it's great timing, you know. I'm launching a dating course that can be accessed from anywhere in the world. So I've got that coming out in the next couple of weeks. And, of course, thanks to technology, you know, as today, I coach people all over the world. People reach me from wherever, and, you know, we can email, we can Skype, we can Zoom. Thanks to technology, people can access me from anywhere.
Well, find Susie Parkus. If you're having trouble, if you're struggling, I think perspective can help a lot of people. So that's Susie Parkus. It's SUZIEPARKUS, and that's on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Susie, thank you so much for your insight and your time in particular.